Welcome to the I Love Coaching Podcast, where we believe coaching solves everything.
Welcome back to the I Love Coaching Podcast, everybody. Today, I'm your host, Adam Roach, and we have an amazing guest with us right now. He probably gets that all the time, that word amazing and his name going together. Here's the fun part about who this individual is. I have a good history with him in the recruiting space. We were in a team leader boot camp together. I'm sure it was like his 10th time going through it. It was my first time going through it. And we recruited. I attempted to follow this guy in many different ways. No joking there, because he is a leader's leader. He is a massive recruiter. He's also an incredible man when it comes to his wife being married and kids. And Lucas is joining us today on the I Love Coaching Podcast. Lucas, welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, thank you. I was wondering who you were introducing because I wanted to meet that fella. Thank you for that. Very, very kind.
Do you remember that day back in 2010, 11, when we were in that? I had hair back then.
Yeah, well, and my hair was not quite salt and peppery, and that was my first time going through that. I remember that class being scared out of my mind, not knowing how to recruit, not knowing anything. Well, not realizing I knew how to recruit, and I just needed a class to bring it out of me, because I think all of us are natural recruiters if we have a cause that's important to us.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So here's our audience here, Lucas. It's people that, first of all, are recruiters, people that are entrepreneurs, people that love coaching, to be coached or are coaches. And so in the recruiting space, because recruiting happens everywhere, would you agree?
I do. I have a fundamental belief that we are all amazing recruiters. Mm-hmm. We just have to get out of our own way and also be locked into a cause that we firmly believe in. Because once any individual, no matter a personality style or behavioral tendencies, if we have a cause that we're passionate about, and for me, it's altering the course of human history today, that every day I wake up and say, today I alter the course of human history, and that person that I'm going to alter the trajectory of their life, they don't even know my name today. That is a different conversation than saying how many people I need to recruit to my organization. So I believe we are all natural recruiters. Mm-hmm. It's just getting in touch with the cause and getting all the stories out of our head that says that people don't want to hear from us, or that we're a used car salesman, and no offense to any used car salesman, but you know, that it's just, we're just trying to get another gross recruit in the door. When it becomes like that, yeah, that there's a very small percentage of people who are actually good recruiters. But when it becomes about a cause and living out of a center and being attractive, then I think we're all pretty natural recruiters. We just have to get the stuff out of our head that prohibits us from doing what we're naturally designed to do.
Mm-hmm. That's really, really good there. Altering human history. Where did that cause actually come from? It doesn't get any bigger than that, does it?
Well, and it actually comes from my own story. I was new to the real estate sphere. I had 20 years in the ministry background, and I decided I was going to get into real estate. There was a lot of things that my family did. It just was very obvious that we needed to make a shift. And I decided I was going to get in the real estate sphere, and I didn't know anybody that didn't know me as a pastor or as a, you know, conference speaker or as a crusade speaker. So who am I going to market to? So I started out at a brokerage, great brokerage, a national franchise, and I went broke really quick, Adam. Mm. And I still remember the day that Andy St. Jean in Sugarland, Texas, picked up the phone and called me and said, hey, I'd like to talk to you about Keller Williams. And for me, it was Keller Williams. And I said, well, I don't want to be recruited. I'm loyal to my broker, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I'm broke. I'm scared. She said, just let's sit down and talk. I want to hear how you're doing, really. That one phone call changed my family's trajectory. Mm. So I know history is the rearview mirror, but she changed history in advance. She changed the trajectory of my life and my family's life and my children's life. And so every day I wake up saying, who out there is going to give me all the stiff arm? I'm loyal to my broker. I love my company. I'm happy where I'm at. That real honestly needs me to change their life if I could just get over my own need to be accepted, my own need to, you know, my own personal stories that I create internally. So I wake up every day saying, I'm going to change the history of somebody's life today, which is a different conversation than, are you grossing 10? Are you grossing 20? Are you filling up your organization? Are you filling your org chart? That's dreadfully boring. But But if I can change the trajectory of somebody's life and they look back on it in 30 years and said, that was the best business conversation I've ever had, game over.
Wow. So that cause came from something that actually happened to you, not something you created.
No, Adam, I mean, seriously, I'm here. I am. That was March of 2009, that I joined Keller Williams. So here it is 12 years later, I'm still talking about that phone call when somebody quote recruited me. Mm-hmm. And so I wake up every day, Adam, saying, okay, somebody did it for me. How self-centered and selfish and self-absorbed am I if I don't do it for somebody else? So like even this morning, I think I made, 15 recruiting calls today? Well, some would call recruiting calls. I just called 15 people to see who out there can I be an answer to their prayer? Who out there can I help them with their business, career, life, wealth building, whatever it is? And it's just a conversation. And it's just amazing that when you take that energy to it, man, I'll do that every day of the week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I have to meet a quota, that's not so exciting to me.
So now let's walk through that. So I want to stay in this recruiting space for a second. Then I want to go into how you would potentially coach someone to get into that mindset, right? So you're making these 15 life-changing possible calls. I love that you say that, right? Because I used to keep an affirmation in front of me when I was standing up making my calls was, who's going to be the lucky one today that gets to answer my phone call, right? I didn't mean that arrogantly because I did feel we were going to change some lives if they would just sit down and shut up and listen, right? I say that lovingly, of course. So now as you go into these conversations, right, are these cold conversations? Are these warm conversations? What are these?
It doesn't make a difference what kind of conversation. That's it. In my mind, Adam, what I do, I did this back when I was in real estate, when I was calling expired listings, which was like terrible for me. I was just like, oh, until I pictured somebody out there had their listing expired. They can't get their agent to call them back. They can't get their agent to come get their stuff out of their house and their listing has expired. Nobody's looking at it. And they absolutely had to sell their house. And that morning before I started lead generating, they're praying a prayer saying, God, would you help us sell our house today? Back to me. I just want to call enough expired listings to find the person praying that prayer, call them and be an answer to their prayer. And they don't even know my name. That's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Same attitude into whether it's cold, warm, referral. I don't care. That person this morning may have been praying a prayer saying, God, I'm broke. I'm scared. My life's terrible. I hate my job. I hate what I'm doing. I can't stand it. I'm in a trap, but I can't let anybody know I'm in a trap because, you know, that'd be embarrassing. Let me just call and be an answer to the prayer that they're praying today. That's recruiting.
I hope everybody just heard that, right? Because that is the biggest opportunity right there is your mindset shift, right? The mindset shift as to what you are doing is it can be recruiting, which could be a little scary. It could be recruiting, which feels a little slippery at times, right? Or it can be life changing. It can be answering prayers. It can be that type of mindset. So these conversations today, so you picked up the phone, maybe these weren't people you knew and you got into having a conversation. Just out of curiosity for someone listening that maybe is doing the exact same thing and maybe that phone weighs 1,000 pounds. What do you do first, right? Well, you pick up that phone and you get going. What do you do?
The best script I know, Adam, recruiting script, this is golden. Hello. if I were to call you and we've got a 10, 11 year long relationship, it's not a trepidatious type of call for me to call you because you're a human being with a story. I know a little bit of you personally. I know you like to play tennis. I know you're an amazing skier because I skied in Tahoe with you. So I know some stuff. Well, I just pretend like I know that person too, because it just takes a few questions to unlock that. I just have to convince myself that they want to hear from me. And at least the people that I'm going to actually talk to really want to hear from me. Now, here's what's funny. Every great once in a while, I'll get negative Nelly or grumpy Greg on the phone. And I don't want to be recruited. Hey, no problem, man. I hang up the phone and said, they didn't pray the prayer this morning. In fact, they probably never have prayed. In fact, they're probably a heathen going to hell. I don't know. But I just simply laugh and go to next, because it's invariably at least once a day I hear, oh my gosh, you'll never know how stressed out I was when you called. Man, I live for that moment, Adam. I don't have to get paid for that moment. Whenever I hear, you cannot believe how stressed out I was the day that you called me, but I couldn't tell anybody because we live in an image conscious society in an image conscious industry. Man, I'm going to peel through all those layers of their image and their need to be right and look good. That's all that it is. That, in fact, that I would say that most of the objections, there are people who are genuinely happy and your service doesn't provide them a need when you recruit to. But there is a good percentage of people who are desperately unhappy, desperately longing for more, and yet have too much of an ego and too much of a need to look good that they're going to give you the stiff arm. And I just simply say, hey, listen, they're doing the best they can where they're at. And I go to the next and I help those who I can help. Because when the student's ready, the teacher shows up. I see myself as a teacher.
You know, it's funny. I love what you said there. We'll get a little silly here for a second. I actually recruited a Grumpy Greg, and his name was Greg, and I called him Grumpy Greg because he would make me come to his office to have a conversation with him. And I kid you not, and the story is 100% true. He then joined our company 3 years later and became a cultural icon in our company because he was ready to have that type of conversation.
I remember one time I had him. I sure hope Grumpy Greg's not listening, nor the people I'm going to use. But I was recruiting. The husband obviously wanted to be there. The wife did not. Mm. And the wife kept on saying, well, you don't know. I actually sold this whole subdivision. And you don't know I did this. You know, 20 years ago, I had studied their numbers. They were currently, they had to be broke unless they had some other streams of income. And she was doing this for like 20, 25 minutes. And I'm sorry, but I actually triggered. I mean, I got ticked off and I spun my chair over and I went knee to knee with her and said, listen, and I used her name. I am doing all I can to help you and your husband here. I've studied your numbers. And the truth is you are probably so broke that after this meeting, I need to go out and buy you a hamburger because you probably can't even afford a Happy Meal at McDonald's right now. Now you could continue to do this ego thing and keep resisting me, or you can let me help you, your choice. And I just rolled back, took a breath like, oh my gosh, did I really say that to a recruit? I saw him kind of straighten up and shoulders back, and they actually joined on the spot. They joined by the end of the meeting because she just needed somebody to say, I'm calling your bluff. I love you enough. Now, that's not a recruiting tactic I would encourage anybody to use. However, right. I think she saw that my heart was, I really wanted to help, and I came from a place of such deep contribution that I believed in my cause, I believed in my company, and I believed I could help, that she heard it with those ears.
Yeah, for sure. And I want everybody to hear that. So what you did is you took a stand, right? You took a stand there and you went ahead and you had a direct conversation. Just like my Grumpy Greg, who I love dearly now, I told him before he was going to join, he had to check his ego at the door.
Yeah.
Right. He had to check his ego at the door because that didn't live in our culture, which is what I heard you say right there. So that was fantastic. Now, move into now. So we got a little bit of the conversation. So to set the appointment, you start with the most amazing script ever, and that is hello. Yeah. And then you go into setting the appointment.
It's been used for thousands of years.
Then you go into holding the appointment. Now, do you have any, I don't want to say tricks, but any tips or any go-tos that you do to whether it's break the ice or get into rapport building faster?
Yeah. So for me, it's always the same thing, Adam. Hey, Adam, you know, the niceties and what have you. Thanks so much for coming. Really, I'm a goal-oriented person. You're a goal-oriented person. I really only have two goals for today. One, to get to know you and anything you want to tell me about your business. And number two, answer any questions about my company that you may have. So tell me about you. I start every recruiting appointment that way. I have sat with the best recruiters in the company. Most all of them start recruiting that way because we always start, in my mind, we always start with their need. Their need becomes our opportunity to help them with something. So in my mind, recruiting is God gave us two ears and one mouth. So I used to literally, because I have so many brilliant things to say, I overtalk, Adam. I know that's a shock to you. And so I literally had on the wall right behind the people who I was recruiting in my office, a sign, and it just W-A-I-T. Why am I talking? Mm-hmm. And I would ask a question, cross my legs, and literally stick my finger over my mouth and let them talk. A great recruiting appointment in my mind is hearing about their goals, about the gaps in their goals, about their negative future that they could create if they don't fix the problems and the gaps. And then we could say, can we just put recruiting on a pause? Let's just talk about that gap. If you don't do anything, if nothing in your world changes, what's going to change in your world? Let's talk about that. And what I'm going to do as best as I can is, especially if I'm really enrolled in their story, I'm going to put myself on their side of the fence and create a positive future in which we both are side by side working on that gap.
So you open it by simply setting expectations.
Yeah.
You set the expectation with two simple expectations. Then you get into the conversation with them to create gaps, right? To listen for value gaps. Now, you've said a few times, and I want to bring this to everyone's attention here, and I'd love to hear your explanation of it. And I like to call it the four conversations of a conversation. I heard you say positive future and negative future.
Yeah. Right?
Walk us through that, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, and in fact, I'm developing some material that has this embedded in it, because I think it's the cycle of every great recruiting appointment. Mm-hmm. It's positive present. Hey, they always say, well, tell me about you and your business. And it's usually an awkward moment where they, well, what do you want to know? I said, you know, did you always do real estate? What's going great in your business right now? What's happening in your life? Tell me about your kids. I am fishing to find what's authentically important to that person. Because I'm really interested. I'm coming from curiosity and I'm listening. I'm deeply listening to their language, watching their body language. You could tell an awful lot about a person. You know, are they really excited that they hit the goal? Or are they kind of like, yeah, I hit my goal last year. And so I'm listening. So I'm going to start with a positive present. And then I'm going to say, generally, my transition question, Adam, has worked for me is, hey, Adam, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you grade yourself right now? So this all this exciting stuff's going on. Scale of 1 to 10, where would you grade yourself? Almost every good agent, good recruit says about a 6 or a 7. To which I say, oh, my gosh, okay, what makes it an 8? What makes it a 9? Then they're going to give me their negative, the present negative. That's the gap that, gosh, I could make more money. I could have more time. I'm not building wealth. I'm missing all my kids' soccer games. I'm whatever it is. I'm just always stressed out. I just don't know where the next deal is coming from. Whatever it is, that's the negative present. Now, what typically is a challenge for recruiters is we are fix-it people. Mm-hmm. We find that negative present and we go, boom, here's the solution. Boom, here's the answer. That is such a strategic mistake. So what I'm going to say, okay, so Adam, you don't have enough time with your loved ones. You're not making enough money. What's your plan? We fast forward a year from now. You still don't have enough time with your kids and you still don't have enough money. How's that going to feel? What are you doing about that? Because if you just want to work harder, but you're already telling me you're working 80 hours a week and you want to double your business next year, are you planning on working 160 hours next year? Because absent of a plan. So what's your plan? And I'm going to let them sit in that negative future so they feel that. Mm-hmm. In fact, one time I had the whole I'm loyal to my broker conversation and they explained all this to me and we're at this negative future. They go, yeah, I hear you. But, you know, I'm just so loyal to my broker. I said, can I be really honest? Because we've gotten really personal here. This seems really massively important. Do you have pictures of your kids in your wallet? And she goes, oh, yeah, let me see them. And so she showed me all the pictures of her kids. I said, man, that's a lovely family. Please, I don't mean to be offensive, but do you have a picture of your broker in your wallet as well? Because it sounds as if your loyalty to your broker is trumping your loyalty to your family. Mm. No disparaging to your loyalty. Now, I had a good relationship. The bridge of our relationship could carry the weight of that conversation. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would have just been rude. And right. She goes, oh, my gosh, I am. She says, can you help me figure out how to be more loyal to my family than I am to my broker? I said, sure. I don't care where you go, but just make sure your family really authentically is always first, mm-hmm. whether it's my company or his company. I don't care. Make sure your loyalty is always to your family and your dreams and your aspirations first. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's positive present, negative present to negative future. And then we go to the positive future. So let's picture together. You and I decide to get to business together. What does that need to look like to make it a win for you? And, mm-hmm. and we're going to create that future together.
Right.
In fact, so my favorite close, if there's such a thing, which I hate that closing thing, because somebody who take a script and and it's inauthentic and it doesn't work. But my favorite thing is like, you know, Adam, you seem to fit the profile of the people who join our company, and their business just excels, their life excels. My goal today is not that you join Keller Williams. My goal today is that 3 years from now, you're coming back and thanking me because it was the best business decision you ever made. So what world must I create in order to earn that conversation?
Love that.
And I said,
that, everybody, and push rewind and then go write that down. That was good, Lucas.
Well, and I authentically, the first time I said it, I'm like, ooh, that sounded really good. So I said it again and again, because it really is, comes from my core. It's not something I learned at a sales class. It's like, I have no desire to have just turn and burn. I don't want you to come in and out. I want you to come in and stay, and that this revolutionized your life, because my goal isn't recruiting. My goal is to alter the course of human history today.
Hmm. There it is. There's the circle. It comes right back, doesn't it?
We should put all this in a class, maybe, buddy.
We might be able to do something like that. So now let's do this. Because now you've helped so many people learn to recruit, right? Attract, find their cause. You've helped a lot of people do that. Knowing that it's a relatively simple process, what are some of the things that you've seen people that have to overcome to get to that level of being comfortable in your own skin to sit down and have a hi or a hello conversation, and then take them through the four corners of that conversation? What do they have to overcome?
Well, I think
that you've helped them then.
Yeah, for me, those that are paid to recruit were paid to be rejected.
Mm.
Make peace with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at Keller Williams, I had the good fortune of winning, I think, 5 black belts, and I've been the Team Leader Hall of Fame. Well, the truth is, I only succeeded 1 out of 4 times. So 3 of 4 times people said no, and they're still happily at their former company. You know, so most of the people who met with me. So, and as time went on, you know, the people I actually met with was smaller and smaller. And so the ratio has changed. But here's the first thing that I would say is, number one, make peace with your need to be accepted. Because if my need to not be rejected speaks loudly, I'm not going to pick up the phone, and or I'm going to call the same people that I always call that I know aren't going to reject me, or I know it's going to reject me, so I have no expectation of them joining. So number one is artificially suspend, because we're good at what we do because we have a high need to be accepted. Mm-hmm. I personalities have a high need to be accepted and not be rejected. So artificially suspend that for a time.
Okay.
Right. Number two, if I need you, I can't lead you.
Mm.
So if I need to make my numbers, or if I need a deal to close, it is a real challenge for me to be a fiduciary or to be a consultant or to come from contribution, because I'm looking at the bills I need to pay or the numbers I need to hit. So when I'm in a conversation, I am forgetting about all my numbers. I'm forgetting about all my goals. I'm forgetting about all, and it becomes completely about that other person, because I have to artificially suspend my need for them to say yes. So if I need you, I can't lead you. And so, and then number three is come from total curiosity, is because they may say, I'm loyal to my broker, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're loyal to the broker. They may say, I'm not interested in joining my company. That may not mean that. So I'm a musician. I took 9 years of piano lessons. I played guitar for years and years and years. It's not the notes that make the music. It's the space between the notes that make the music. When somebody's talking, we need to understand it's not the words that they use that are the most important. It's the stuff in between the words that is not said that may be massively important. We need to learn how to listen and stay in curiosity and crank out of the judgment gear and crank out of the let me hard close them now deal. Is I'm going to listen, and yet with a very, very clear thing that if I really believe my company and my cause is authentically the best opportunity for most learning-based, principle-centered, integrity-based people, then it's going to be a very natural thing to progress them to making the best recruiting appointment I ever have is the one at the end of it says, you know what? It just would make a whole lot more sense for me just to join your organization than stay where I'm at. Doesn't it?
Self-discovery.
If I could get them to that point where they're self-discovering that this actually makes a bunch of sense, game over. The number one recruit I had as a team leader of a Keller Williams office was number five in the Kansas City metro area. They came in, they had a very specific agenda. They were number five in Kansas City. 1 hour later, they were joining our office. Hmm. Now, I could have come at it with the thought of, I need to sell them. I could come out of the thought like, oh, that $50 million producers don't move in one appointment. I could come in with all, because we kept it in curiosity, they were a yes by the end of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Stay mm-hmm. in curiosity, come from contribution, listen more than we talk. Mm-hmm. I think, Adam, I'm pretty passionate about this. I think mindset and mission are just as, in fact, even more important than scripts and methods. Yeah. And I have the mindset and mission right, I'll set the world on fire. I'll set myself on fire and the world will come and watch me burn.
I got a whole page of notes here, my friend. Way to go, Lucas. That was awesome. So everybody, here's what I wanted you to hear there. That is word spoken, number one, authentically from someone that has been in this recruiting and coaching space for now since 2009-ish, when he was had that life human altering call, which was fantastic. And now you can just hear it roll right off his tongue. And then Lucas, you said something in there about putting a course together. I think that's a good little carrot that we can put out in front of people, that the I Love Coaching Company and Lucas might be, we'll see, potentially going to do a course for something in the recruiting space in the near future. So be on the look for that. I'm super excited about that, my friend.
Yeah. Well, what would it look like if we had a generation of people who are called, quote, recruiters, who did it out of a sense of mission, out of a sense of script? Mm-hmm. What if we had a group of quote, recruiters or coaches who did it out of a sense of, I'm today going to show up and change somebody's life forever?
Yeah.
What would the industry look like moving forward? That is, I know that a lot of people talk about, quote, the infinite game by Simon Sinek. That is the infinite game.
It is.
Mm-hmm. There's no scarcity there.
Mm-hmm. It totally is. Well, Lucas, I want to keep us on time and be respectful of your time. I know you are a busy, busy man. Curious, where can people go find you? How can they communicate with you? What can they do to understand more about the Lucas?
Well, obviously, I think I'm at that silly 5,000 friend limit on Facebook or something. I think I've got a public page too. I'm not really that great on that, but look me up at any type of thing. Lucas@place.com is my email address. They can feel free to shoot me an email. I do this because I'm passionate about helping people grow their organizations and doing it from a sense of mission instead of a sense of who's got the best scripts and who's got the best clothes and who's got the best tie downs. Those are all important. But without mission and mindset, I think that those methods are very shallow.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, everybody, this has been Lucas on the I Love Coaching Podcast. Lucas, thank you for your time, my friends. Great to see you again. And I look forward to our future venture. Everybody, be on the lookout for that. It could be coming to a computer near you. So everybody, take care. My name is Adam Roach. I have been your host here with the I Love Coaching Podcast. We'll see you next time.